KPRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Chair Show.
Oh well.
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 Oh well. Oh well. Oh well. Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Who cares?
Oh well.
Oh well. Maybe.
That's the famous creed of the Calvinists, ladies
and
gentlemen.
That was the five points of Calvinism.
That's the five points of Calvinism right there. Oh well. I'm chosen there, not. Oh well. God predesignated my son to go to hell.
Oh well.
God predesignated my mother to go to hell.
Oh, well.
God predesignated my dog to go to hell.
Oh, well.
Uh-oh, I hope God didn't predesignate me to go to hell.
Oh, well.
They don't really know. The Calvinists, they can, the thing that must be really agonizing that keeps Calvinists awake at night, how can you be sure that you're...
You can't. If you're a real Calvinist, you can never know. And they talk about the perseverance of the saints, yet you can't know. How can you talk about the perseverance of the saints if you can't know? It is the most stupid. See, this is what happens.
You're getting fired up.
I am, because this is what happens when you replace the Word of God with a stupid creed. And you defend the creed to the death, and you ignore the Scriptures, just like the Pharisees. If you hold to a creed, you can say goodbye to any more knowledge of God. Creeds suck. Period. They suck.
Yeah, I agree.
And pardon, and I, you know, I'm going to use it. Everyone uses that word. They do. They suck.
I hope Duke lets that through.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what? And that's the creed caused our friend John Calvin
to burn
people at the stake because, you know, if why should you be any greater than your God? If your God predesignates certain people to eternal torment, why should you perform any better than him? Why not burn people at the stake if that's what your God does? If that's what you're attaining to. And yet, in the Scriptures, we read of a God who has a plan for all in the fullness of times, or in the fullness of the era. God is going to show us the fullness of the depth of what happened at the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians 15:22 says that as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class, each in his own order, as the King James Version says. There is an order to God's process of salvation. I've been taught that this is the only age of grace. This is the age of grace. Yet I read in Ephesians 2, verse 7, I think it is, that in the ages to come, he will reveal the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, to say that he exhausts his program in this short life of misery and toil, and to say somebody's born into a family of drug dealers, someone's born with Down's syndrome, someone's born into a horrible family, they're neglected and beaten, their whole life is evil, they grow up in crime, and they end up in jail, they're at the end of themselves. Folks, every one of us was like that at one time, in one way or another. We were all bottomed out. And that's when God works. That's when God is called on. Mm. What if these people die in this terrible state? Is that the end for them? There is judgment. There is judgment.
Yes.
All will stand at the great white throne. We believe, Dan and I believe in all the judgments of God. In Revelation chapter 20, they stand at the great white throne. They're adjusted for their works there. They're judged in accord with their works. Some are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And you know what I always ask people about the second death? What happens to them after that?
That's right.
And nobody has ever heard that question because to many, the second death is the backstop. That's the last thing God does. But we read in 1 Corinthians 15:26,
he's going to abolish death.
That God is going to abolish death. It happens through the cross of Christ. And that's why we could read in Colossians 1:20, that through the blood of the cross, he is going to reconcile all things to him, whether
notice,
those in the heavens or those
future.
On the earth.
Yes. He's going to reconcile, all things.
Yes. You have to wait until the end of this movie, folks. This is, we're on act two of a three-act play, or a movie, let's call it. I've said this before, if you leave the movie Rocky after the first act, you're going to think that Rocky Balboa, he a bum. He no good. He can't beat anybody. And you're going to walk away thinking that he's always going to be that way. if you leave the theater.
I did it.
I can't stand this bum. He's a weakling. He can't do anything. Act two, you start to see, you know, he's coming to a realization of his prowess, and he starts to train with Mick. Yo, Mick. All right, you can do Mick pretty good, can't you? Give me something with Mick. Like, come on.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crap thunder. You're going to be a dangerous person.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
That's Act 2.
Yeah.
And it starts getting interesting in Act 2. What's Act 3? He goes up against Apollo Creed, and I think he beats him in Rock. Does he? It's a draw. What the heck happens? Let's drop the analogy at this point.
It's draw.
Because at this point, God wins. You can't leave the theater. Yeah. To look at the lake of fire and say, that's the end of God's program, to look at unbelief, all the millions of people that die without having, listen to me, been given belief. Belief's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. If they die in unbelief, I can only conclude that God did not give it to them for a reason. So it's not their fault.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, I like to put it this way very simply. Do you believe that God is forever going to have sin and death in his creation? Is God forever going to tolerate it? See, the teaching of Christendom believes that God is going to put up with sin and death for eternity. We are saying that he's going to conquer sin and death, and he's going to wipe out all traces of sin and death once and for all. That's victory.
I hope that doesn't make you a universalist.
No. Makes me a believer.
Thank God. I hate believer any kind of God. Ist, as you heard earlier.
I know.
Any kind of it. We are not universalists. Please. Universalists believe that God's just
He's
nice.
Just such a sweet guy.
And everybody's going to tiptoe
yes.
through the tulips into heaven, even Hitler. Here I am.
Universalists don't believe the scriptures.
No, we believe the scriptures.
We believe in the God of the scriptures, and we are not liberal universalists, period.
Period, zero. And
we had a friend of ours who believes what we believe, and all the churches in that town associated him with the Unitarian Universalists, which is just sickening. It's bearing false witness, and God's going to... they're going to have a rough time at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne if they're believers. But we're not universalists. We're not Unitarian Universalists.
No, because they don't base it on the cross of Christ.
Exactly.
The cross
exactly.
of Christ did it. Like I said, Colossians 1:20.
Yeah.
Through the blood of the cross, he's going to reconcile all things to him. I wonder if that's true.
Yeah.
That's what I ended up asking Tuesday. I wonder if this is true.
By the way, these terms are dodges. When I first started to see that the Bible talks about death, that death is death and not life in another place, one leader of the Grace organization said, that's what the Jehovah Witnesses teach. Blah, blah. You try to classify them with the Jehovah Witnesses. I said, oh, yeah? Well, you're just like the Muslims because they teach in a hell like you teach. Was that fair?
Yeah, I think that was fair.
It's not a fair classification. You know what I'm saying? They're always trying to pigeonhole you so they can duck the issue. Well, that's Jehovah's Witness. That's Universalist. Well, what's the answer, man? Answer with the scriptures instead of throwing me into a class.
How can anybody call you a Jehovah's Witness? I've never seen you wear a suit in your life.
No. That would make I can never be a Mormon then either.
Or carry a briefcase.
No.
You cannot be
a
Jehovah's Witness.
No. Couldn't be.
No, especially with that Three Stooges t-shirt on.
No, couldn't be.
So it's based on the cross of Christ, and we realize that there are verses in Scripture that seem to refute what we're telling you. And what did I say, or maybe you said it, Dan, Tuesday? We are very hot and heavy on the Scriptures correctly translated. And once you correctly translate them, there's some critical words that have been mistranslated, and when it's corrected, which anybody can do, even if you have a King James Version, if you have a concordance. I got to tell you a story about this.
Uh-oh.
I was at a bookstore in downtown Indy yesterday with Matt.
Yeah.
And we were standing in the theology section. He forced me to go there. I hate the theology section. I'm always in I like the biographies, you know.
Yeah.
So I was forced in the theology section. And here comes this kid around the corner. He's probably 11 or 12 years old. He's dressed pretty nice. He had a fine silk purple shirt or something. And he was looking at the Bibles. And Matt, very outgoing. I'm very retiring and shy.
Yeah, right.
And Matt said, hey, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm looking. His voice hadn't changed yet. I'm looking for a Bible. I'm going to be going to theological seminary. That's my goal in life.
Oh,
I'm going to be a pastor someday.
Poor kid.
I'm going to be a pastor someday. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just trying to make my voice.
My
testes haven't descended yet, so I'm trying to bring that across over the airwaves. I want to be a pastor someday. And I said, well, what version are you looking for here? I want a King James Bible. I said, okay, that's fine. And we started looking for a Bible. I said, have you ever heard of a concordance? No. I said, well, concordance lists every single word in the Bible, and it shows you how the translators translated it. And there was one up on the top shelf. I grabbed it. You know, they weigh 10 pounds. Matt had to help me. The thing was coming down. I said, now look at this. And I showed him. Every single word is in here. And if you see, there's a little number at the end of the word. That's a Strong's number, the Greek word. And I showed him how you go to the back of the book, and this will show you what the actual Greek word was. Because I said, you realize that Jesus and the rest of the people in the Bible did not speak English. And so there's a lot that's lost in the translation.
I trow not.
What are you speaking King James to me?
Yes. The Lord Jesus spoke in King James English, and don't tell me otherwise.
It was good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me.
Continue.
All right.
Sorry to derail you.
That's all right. I'm right back where I was. So I showed the kid all this, and he was kind of overwhelmed. I mean, it's overwhelming to realize that, oh, my God, I'm going to have to work for this? You know, yeah. I thought I would just have to breeze through the seminary. And so he never even heard of it, so I showed him this, and I was really tempted to fork out $30 and buy the thing for the kid. You know, but he didn't look strong enough to carry it to the checkout.
Yeah.
He was rather frail.
Well, are we onto this subject? Boy, where did we come from?
I don't know. We were talking about words. And I'm saying
words,
that.
Yeah.
Okay, because listen, people are hearing us talk about this, about God being the Savior of all mankind in the fullness of times, and they're stumbling over other verses that are in their minds.
Yeah.
Well, wait, these shall go away into everlasting torment.
Mm.
The beast's adversary and the false prophet shall be tormented forever and ever. And these words, forever and ever, and everlasting and eternal, are mistranslations.
Yeah.
I'm just going to touch on that right now, because we have to get back to the Arminians, which are the enemies of the Calvinists.
Yes, they hate each other.
Yeah, they hate each other. Let me get back to, you know, we're all over the map here sometimes, but there's a method to our madness. There really is. But in order to find that method, you have to keep listening to this show.
There's a method?
Yes. If we brought up something that we don't get back to immediately, keep listening.
Yeah.
We will get to it, even if it's next
people
year.
People think we just show up in the studio and hit record.
Yeah, like we don't prepare something. Are you kidding me? This is Elizabeth, the letter
yes.
we got earlier this week from the hated mailbag. I mean, the lovely mailbag. Listen to Elizabeth. This is profound. We're going to have to finish talking about this tomorrow. My first observation, she says, was that it's astounding how people... Oh, wait. Sorry. Wrong paragraph.
We've already had that. Go ahead.
I've already used up all our time. My second and more profound conclusion is that one of the most damaging and erroneous tenets of Christendom is that salvation is an offer, a sale. This sets the scene for the sales pitch, the explanation of the deal, the claims of no payment now, and the simultaneous insinuations that true faith gives all, and the pride that comes from, quote, doing the right thing for God.
Yeah, salvation's not an offer, and it's not a deal.
You have to say that in such a mean, angry fashion.
It's not like you go to Kmart and get a two-for-one special.
But that's what Billy Graham makes it. Uh-oh, we're getting another call
that's
from him.
That's a person who as a whole made it.
Yeah, I'm afraid if I say that, then Billy Graham might be wrong.
Yeah.
Woo! We're going to know he's listening.
Hey, Martin, where can they find you?
Sitting across from you in this glorious radio
station. Website.
Oh, martinzender.com.
And you can find me at crossandthrone.com. By the way, for those of you listening, I am doing a study on Romans verse by verse. Go there and listen to that. It's without Martin, unfortunately.
Nobody does verse by verse better than Dan Sheridan.
And go to martinzender.com and get his clanging gong news.
We'll talk more about that later.
I dare you to do it. Have a great weekend, everyone.
We'll see you Monday, folks.